The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 7. That sixth day out of the port of Zuleika, my camel, was gingerly proceeding down the narrow meandering path leading from the peaks of the mountains inland to the swamp below, crowded terribly from behind by the obnoxious, alvaricious Siole. My fur hat was suddenly plucked from my unsuspecting head by the low-hanging branch of some stupid-looking tree. Automatically, I turned in my seat to reach back for it and strained in my stirrups. This, my camel took as an indication that she should come to a dead halt. This would not have been a problem if Alvy had been paying any attention to what was going on directly in front of him, or if he had been traveling at some reasonable distance behind me. But because neither one of these two things were true, Alvy and his camel were very soon right on top of us. Literally. Now, I know that a lot of people use the word literally when they clearly mean metaphorically, but they feel that longer word lacks punch. But I can assure you that I am doing no such thing. The front bits, or legs and I guess chest, of Alvy's camel ended up resting on the bum of my camel. Resting is perhaps not the right word. Writhing might be more accurate. This attention was evidently not at all desired by my camel. She clearly did not fancy close contact with the pushy brute that held Alvy as his cargo, and to emphasize her lack of enthusiasm for what she may have taken for his amorous advances, she bolted. This could have been an effective strategy if we had been on some level plain unencumbered by rocks and scrubby brush. It would have been even more effective if we had not become hopelessly entangled in the harness of Alvy's camel during our collision. As it was, we careened through the scrub brush wildly, with Alvy and his camel still attached. Both Alvy and I voiced, rather loudly, our displeasure at the actions of my camel, and shortly Alvy's camel joined in, no doubt severely displeased on his own account, as he was now being dragged down the side of a mountain by a very upset female. None of our objections showed any sign of slowing her, nor did the objections of Sammy and Roger, with whom, despite our straying rather wildly from the path during our pell-mell panicky sprint, we shortly collided. I have a memory which seems to me rather clear of our being swept up into a great ball and rolling down the hill, but that is probably not strictly accurate. I'm sure some of the camels had their feet on the ground at all times, and somehow I managed to retain hold on my fur hat. But our descent down the mountain was precipitous and painful for all involved. When we finally came to a halt, we had traveled some distance, and we could, once we picked ourselves up and dusted ourselves off, barely make out the figure of Hobi high up on the mountain where we had left him, he being the only one of the party not affected by the collision.